Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 127th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. And during this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guests are Tony Bazia and Ann Smith. Bazia was interviewed on this show in 2014 and 2015, talking about his memoir and about leadership. Today, he's joined by his collaborative friend and retired English teacher, Ann Smith. She's the host of cable TV program, one similar to New Mainers Speak called Perspectives on CTN5. Together, they are passionate and productive, creating materials and unique ways of supporting members of the South Sudanese diaspora, while preserving and sharing cultural heritage with the next generation of Africans, regardless of where they might establish residence. Perhaps you've heard them speak about their books, Monkey and Clara's Dream. The most recent time they joined me on the show, which was in October 12th, 2015. So welcome back to New Mainers Speak, Bazia and Ann.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are producing Africa-friendly children's books, I should say, most recently Hippo and Hoopo. And you're planning a trip to Malawi to share these treasures. Can you tell us about your motivations to write books like this and to share them with people in Africa?
Well, when a child in another country is learning a very difficult language, like English, you have not only the reading piece and the language piece, but you also often have, if you order your textbooks from New York or UK, you have all these cultural issues. And we're trying to write books that make English a possibility from a very early age and work your way up, but dealing with subjects that the students are already familiar with, such as African animals or heroes from particular countries. Presently, we are affiliated with a young man who is named Solomon. I haven't asked his permission, so I won't give his whole name, but he is starting schools in Malawi, which has recently switched from French to English. A number of other African nations have done so also, including Congo, and I believe Burundi is in the process. So there will definitely be a market for books that make this possible.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I was an English teacher for many years, and I love to read, and I'm deeply moved at the thought that a child somewhere in the world will pick up a book that I wrote and that was illustrated by someone that we connected with and read it and learn to read in English. That just means a great deal to me in terms of my own personal dreams.
You know, that's beautiful, Anne. And as a social worker, the idea that it's culturally sensitive means a lot to me. You know, for children to pick up books and read about kids decorating Christmas trees in snow-covered places is kind of remote and not very relevant. And I think children learn best when there's relevant information. And for you to take local stories and illustrate them and write them and put them in the hands of children learning to read English is a gift to their community, I think.
I'm also fortunate enough to know a number of people who are here for the and learning English, adults. And so they have children. And I say, here, take a look at this newest book I'm writing. What do you think? Could you have learned to read English when you were a child from this book? And they tell me when that I've made a mistake in terms of how they would want their children to learn.
That's really cool. So you have these prototypes you can test out on people locally.
Yeah.
Nice. Bazia, the capital of your home city is Wau in South Sudan. They've been in the news a lot due to the political upheaval there quite recently. I wondered if you could tell us what life looks like there now for the many families that were destroyed in that war zone.
Oh, really, the situation in Wau really is more sad, because right now people that are not in their house, some of them in Red Cross, some of them in the church, some of them in the bush, because they feel their life is not secure by the government, and they be trading in the way the life is not in peace. And I can't imagine how a little girl, our little boy in that situation.
Yeah, they're really vulnerable. Is the UN in there with refugee camps at this point?
There is UN, or they, by I think they use Red Cross is under UN, and then they use some different church people still protected by UN, and some people in the bush. That the different perspective. The one in the bush is not under any protection, but maybe I can say the one in the church or the Red Cross, they will have a better chance.
Mm-hmm.
But the one in the bush, it's just you and God, you know.
And how have you been able to help from here?
Really, the big help my side give encouragement, I believe. And I don't believe in hatred. I believe sometimes we don't understand what is happening, but sometimes go back in the day. Back in the day, I think there was issues. Sometimes people didn't talk about past that much. But when somebody get a chance in the power, maybe he might go back to the past. When he go to past, he will try to create other problems. But in my message to anybody who get affected, you need to believe in yourself and believe in God. In any way in the world, the hatred never solved issue. People, they can kill each other, but at the end of the day, you have to have peace.
Yeah, hatred doesn't make a country great.
Yeah, I don't care who does things, but...
And sometimes we just help one person at a time. Sounds like you've been helping a girl named Aloia.
Yeah, Aloia was a little girl, age is 9 years old. I don't know her mom, I'll be honest, but I have a fellow who worked with me in different situation in WOW. His name is Philip Damaso. Philip Damaso, who told me when Aloia's father get shot in WOW, and they tried to help him to go to Juba because the hospital in Juba is better than in WOW. But with all that, they tried to save him life. When he get to Juba, he don't made it, and he died. And Philip was talking about her family, and this man left 8 kids, and they have 7 boys and 1 girl. So I said, Philip, I feel like my project believe about the young girl that the next generation, and according to my homeland, they call us Fertit. And I feel if I have the Fertit girl, she can be a mother, she can be a teacher, she can be economic. That pick the family up. So Philip connected me to Aloia. Even when I was talking to her, she doesn't believe with all that situation, somebody living in other country think about her.
I bet that would be a profound realization. You can't even hardly imagine the United States, but
right.
There's a South Sudanese man in Portland,
right.
Maine,
right.
Who's going to make sure you're taken care of.
Right. So I don't believe it, and I would just cry when she was saying, to spawn what I just asked her, I care about her, and then I connect her with other family. Western Barghazat, I connect her with other community called Balanda USA in America, and they said give them help. And through this, we'll find a way. Her mom, she can give Aloia to me in the name of the project or with my name, and I can be a sponsor to take Aloia. So we just transfer her from WOW to Juba and from Juba to Khartoum, and now she lives with my mom.
So she's in North Sudan
now,
going to school.
We're working on that. We're already in 2017, and I think if I'm right or wrong, down there they start on June or July. But now we need to make sure we can raise some money because really we'd love to put her in a good school. It costs $1,500 a year.
Hmm. So she's had great loss, but she's also having a great opportunity thanks to you and your project. This past year, you've been to Cairo, Egypt, and Dallas, Texas, to visit with people from the Fertit tribe. I heard you say that earlier, and I understand that they are... unlike so many other South Sudanese tribes, in that they're not nomadic, but are makers who are more inclined toward mercantilism and selling things. Can you tell us about how you connected with the Fertit people originally from South Sudan and what you hope to do while working with them?
That's my hometown, or my home state now called Western Barghazat, the territory of Fertit. That's... connect even WOW and this other part of Raja, this other small part Bazir Town, there is Dum Zubair. All these are farmer. And one of the things British went back in the day, tried to look at them, they raise fruit. That's why the name of Fertit came. And under that name of that Fertit name, it's like 24 tribes, little tribe, but they're all similar among themselves. We're married together, we have language very close. So that's like, that's my people in the way I put it. Even I'm from Lua, but it's still connected to the same people.
It's like a conglomeration of similarly interested tribes.
Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And
F-E-R-T-I-T.
Yeah, that kind of people, and even we did a book, me and Annie Smith, we compare wild like New York. One of the reasons, because they are multicultural. And they can live anywhere in the world. One of the things that I not really believe I have to be Pacific. They believe wherever they can go, they can adapt that culture. One of the things we call, if you go to the party, do not dance. Sit down and wash. That means you will learn better than to just jump to the dance.
And the Fertit people are able to adapt by watching and seeing what's going on.
Yeah, it taught me one of the benefits of Fertit. You know, when somebody became a farmer, he have a one place to stay, and he can eat good. He can think better. But if you're moving around from place to place, I don't think you can focus. You cannot even look at the future, the short term or the long term. They have a benefit of to be who they are. And they never, ever went to other people to fight or to do that. But the way they live, some people feel trade them life about them.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe jealousy.
If the Fertit, too, are also in one place, if they're in one place, then their children can have the benefits of education if the family can raise enough money, whereas the pastoral tribes, the two dominant tribes in South Sudan, the one of the presidents and his present enemy, the vice president's tribe, they're nomadic. They kind of move around at least every 3 months, they're moving on because the cows need more food. And in fact, if there's any animosity between the two groups, the fruit people or the Fertit and other tribes, it's based on the fact that the Fertit understand that when they plant a garden, they want it to grow to harvest, whereas the other group, the ones with the large herds of cows, just let their cows wander into the farmer's field, eat his crops, and then they move on. There seems to be a definite difference in the way they perceive the world.
It's not limited to Africa. That difference between nomads and agrarian societies have been at odds for all time.
Yeah. Well, you can see very amazing things if you read about South Sudan. The same group that herd the cows, one of their places they go every year where they have housing is in the middle of a very large swamp called the Sad, which is Arabic for swamp. And they live on houses, in houses, on sticks. In the middle of the swamp, and I mean, when I first started reading about them, I said, oh my gosh, they're the lake dwellers that I read about in third grade. And they've been living that way for thousands of years. So this world that has created them as members of an independent nation is a new world for them. They've been sadly neglected by the North before the country separated, and most of them are not educated, and they don't understand any other way than the way they've always known.
Yeah, so the world's reorganized around them and reclassified them, but they're still the same people.
That's right.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. My guests today are Ann Smith, host of Perspectives, a CTN5 cable TV show that explores cultural perspectives of immigrants in Portland, and Tony Bazia, a social organizer who was raised in South Sudan and has a passion for connecting and supporting immigrants, especially the youth in this community around the world. Bazia, your work is not limited to writing or to people with South Sudanese heritage, I know. I understand that you do community outreach with refugees and with people from the Middle East and Somalia and other locations at Portland High School as well. Can you tell us about that program and the fruits of your labor there?
When we started in high school, I believe, called there was we started with a small number. It was a student from Burundi and Rwanda, and we have a chance to talk about what we can do through this program. The benefit of this program was bright future, how to help them to understand the system of the United States and how they can be succeed in the United States. And we give them a chance to pick a name. And one of the, we call them a twins, their brother, but we call them twins, Daniel and his brother. And they call it Bright Future. Because
Bright
if,
Future.
Yeah, because they look at what we give them, that's the new beginning of the future. And really, we're focused on how they can be a good citizen in America and back home, and how they can be connected to the economic future through the education. Because even me and Arnie Smith, we are not believe in anybody got to go to college. Sometimes they have different background. And especially when we connect them to the bank, we find out one child can have three language, four language. So if you have a job from the high school to the bank, that it will help to approve him English, and then maybe later on he can be in college. But sometimes, because the way the system works, they push them by the age. And sometimes they get to college, they stuck. And then after that, they have to go back to McDonald's, to other things.
Quite often when you ask them, when they first come into our group, what do you want to do? Because we talk a lot about careers. They inevitably say, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. Because those are the educated people where they came from. And they have very little sense of the broadness of career choices here in the United States. So one of the things we do regularly on Mondays, as often as possible, is we bring in people who have interesting careers from many different fields. A couple of years ago, we seemed to have a slew of people in the banking field, and they kids got very excited about the fact that they could graduate from high school, get to work in a local bank, and many of them are hiring people who are refugees whose English is good. We keep telling them, your English is the most important thing you have to work on. And then go ahead, and the bank will encourage them to continue their education or even pay for classes, which, of course, in this day and age of huge college debt is a great opportunity. The other thing we have them do is community service. We try to get them interacting with other Americans as much as possible. And 2 years ago, when some of the issues began becoming more frequent between between Islam and Christianity and the confusion about what it meant to wear, for example, the hijab. Our girls got very tired, they said, of having other kids accost them and say, why do you wear that thing on your head? And even questions like, do you leave it on when you're in the shower? Do you wear it to bed at night? And they said, well, we want to tell people why we do this and why this is part of our culture and our faith. And so we have made a video, which will be posted here on Kate's website at some point very soon when I get enough permission slip signed, about the hijab. And it's very enlightening as to what these children believe.
That's really great work. Not only have you allowed them to name themselves, but you've also shaped this organization. It's a club, right? An after-school club?
Yeah, it's a club.
Okay, so you shaped this club to be what they want it and need it to be, and really helping them into their own bright futures.
Well, we started because the Portland Mentoring Alliance, which is run by Glenn Nerbach and now in its 25th year at Portland High School, got a deluge of unaccompanied minors. Not really young kids, kids who were sophomores, juniors, and seniors in high school, and they really needed direction, and he couldn't get enough mentors that year. So we've continued that way. Many of the kids have an individual mentor, but they also consider this their family. Mm. We do things together. We have horrendous arguments sometimes. But our discussions are very fruitful because we find out what they're really being most concerned about.
I'm looking forward to seeing that video, and I will post it on my show's Facebook page and on our blog, too, if possible.
Thank you.
So can you help me understand what it is about working with youth that seems to call to you, Bazia. Why do you do so much organizing on behalf of children and young people, both here and abroad?
I believe the kids have a message if we adults try to work with them. And one of the things, I can be honest, make me more attracted to them. I've tried to put myself, I was a little boy before I be whatever who I am right now. That helped me to operate with the kids better. And one other thing, I have really a special value for them in the way I look at them, the way I think about them. And I think youth, they can be a next generation to make a difference in the United States and even in Africa. Because almost I said, me and Honest Meat keep telling them, we don't give you money, but we teach you to be who you are in the first place. And it's very important to make the child to be comfortable who he is. I don't mind to give example of any big actor or big, but before you get to that point, try to be who you are, because you have a value of who you are. If you have that center of yourself, it will give you a green light of your life. And that's the one thing we enjoy to do this. And another thing, when I came to meet Anne, I tell Anne, I don't came accident. And she doesn't believe me when I say that. But today, she cannot say she cannot believe me. Because when I came to her life, I tell her, I don't came here accident. And today, she was in a learning program, but now no more learning program. She was out to know me. She wanted to write a book, but she never wrote a book. The first book was about me, Chocolate Boy. And we started getting to monkey, to different things. I'm just trying to say through all this good thing, because when we have really a common sense in anything, we can make it better.
So if you know yourself,
right,
you'll find out wherever you are.
Yeah, I know sometimes people don't like me. They think I'm what they call ego or whatever, but it's not about just ego. It's about I have a vision. And I can't just because somebody doesn't like me, I'm going to give up. Oh, he doesn't agree with me.
I'd like to speak to that also, and you're right, Bazia. I didn't know what to make of you when I met you, and I did think you were kind of an egomaniac, but I found you fascinating because you kept giving that same message, that people have to believe in themselves, and that one thing that really helps, God bless, both my parents are gone, but they were of that children should be seen and not heard generation, and they didn't ever convey to us other than, you know, be good, behave, follow the rules. There was no be yourself. So in my early 70s, I met a man who told me that I should be myself and that he would back me. And since then, I have done things that I have wanted to do all my life, including writing books and having an interview show on TV and working with kids in my own way. I was a high school teacher for 40 years, but I pretty much followed the rules. And if I did something unconventional in my classroom, I'd say to the kids, don't tell anybody we did this today or had this discussion. I will tell them that you're all lying. And but I knew how it felt. I always knew how it felt to have nobody listening to you. And kids have some really amazing ideas.
How refreshing to find out that being yourself was exactly what the world needed, even if you didn't find out till later.
Oh, yes. Better late than never.
Actually, it makes a better story, right? Just always having it is one thing, but discovering it along the way is a real gift. And I think it sounds like Bazia has helped you with that, but I think he's helped a lot of people with that. And I admire that. I think that's fabulous and certainly refreshing. I really have no idea how you fit all these projects into your life while working to support yourself, but I'm very impressed by all you've accomplished together and individually, and you continue to set out on new ventures as if, wait, this isn't enough, add something else. So tell us about your latest endeavor, Africans United of New England, and what's your dream with this project?
One of the good things about this idea, I'll give my own boss, Mohammed Gariano. He's my boss. I work for him. He's a man have a heart for Africa, and through to meet me, he find too I have a big heart for all Africa. That's one of the things we came up with, Africa United, to cover level of the New England or 60 state. And I believe we're right now working on the website. Even we changed the shape of our project this year to Africa education, I believe. And even the logo, we try to change it for the map of United States to the map of Africa, and plus even Africa United. So we feel like the two projects start feeding each other. And this is one of the things right now we're working on the website, and maybe by next month we'll believe be done. And the purpose of it really how to put Africa together, because Africa really missing a point of, say, I'm okay, you call me or you ask me which kind of education you have. I can say I did it. But I love people when they call we Africa. And even I fight about we all from Africa. White, black, Asian. The world is set in Africa. But because
seat of civilization.
Yeah. But nobody talk about it today because we divide by have a name on people's name. Oh, this is Asia, this is Arab, this is Africa. We all from Africa. And I believe through this program, if I can make a change for one child, I try. And thank you.
Bazia's boss, Mohammed, is a Muslim. And I mention that because something I've learned in the last year that has been quite overwhelming to me is what a strong part of Islam is the idea of giving back to your people, giving back to the community, not because you want someone to put up a plaque with your name on it. In fact, you're supposed to do as much as possible without getting any attention. And Mohammed is a very successful businessman. He has found a niche in our culture. And so that's what he wants to do with Africans United.
Beautiful. Thank you. Anne and Bazia, you are so active and engaged with young people from the whole world. And I'm so impressed by how you've driven yourselves and produced so much as a duo. Thank you so much for being my guests again today.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you'd like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainersspeak. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest Tony Bazia and Ann Smith. Bazia, could you quickly introduce the song you've selected to close today's program?
Called Africa United.
And who sings this?
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley, an old favorite of yours.
Yeah, he's my favorite singer when I was young. And I think I'm still young since I'm feel love with him song and him job.
Great. This is Africa Unite, Bob Marley.
Yep.
We're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our father's land. Yeah, how good and how pleasant it would be before God and man, yeah, to see the unification of all Africans. Yeah, as it's been said already, children of the Rasta man, we are the children of the Aya man. Africa unite, cause the children wanna come home. Yeah, yeah. Africa unite, cause we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're grooving to our I tell you. Night.